WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Have you been wronged by your nicotine pouches? Settle for sharp edges, rough texture, flavor that drops off. Your pouches are a total wreck, and we're here to get results. Introducing On Plus, the softest pouch on the planet, made with plush, stretchy Nico Silk mesh. That's right, it's as soft as it sounds. So stop settling. Buy On Plus nicotine pouches today at onnicotine.com. Products for tobacco consumers 21 years of age or older. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Life Strong Podcast. I am your host, Anthony, and I am so excited about today's episode, today's guest, today's topic. I managed to link up with this individual via Facebook. See, Facebook isn't all bad, people. It ain't all bad. It depends on what you want to use it for. But I was able to link up with this individual, and the first time we talked, it was amazing. It's some of the things she's doing. We're gonna get into it. Some of the things she's doing is just amazing with our young folk. And I just want you to hear her story and where she came from and how she got to what she's doing. But this is I never knew. I knew there were professional writers. I knew that. But I didn't know some of the things she told me, including how much she made. But that's a whole nother story. But coming all the way to us from Thailand, right?
Yes.
All the way from Thailand. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce Demetria. Did I pronounce that right? Demetria Milliner, the writer. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. I'm glad to have you. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
I know it's kind of late over there. It's about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock over there.
And 9:15 p.m.
So I appreciate you joining us on today, during your evening time over there. I'm curious. How in the world did you end up in Thailand? First of all.
I've always wanted to come to Asia. When I was growing up, I liked everything. I loved everything Asian cuisine, Asian art, Asian decor, everything. So I don't know. It was always in the back of my mind. And then when I started teaching, a couple of teachers that I met and became really close with, they had taught abroad before, and one of them in Asia. And she was like, it'd be the perfect place for you to go. And so I didn't think much of it, but I applied anyway. And then 2 years later, here I am. I moved here in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, wow. That had to be scary and troublesome.
It was scary and exhilarating both at the same time.
Oh, wow. 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 But thankfully, you are doing well. You are okay. And loving it over there in Thailand. One day I'm going to make it over there one day.
Come on, there's room. Come on. Right.
Hey, so when we first, I remember when we first had we've only had one discussion actually, but when we had that discussion, man, I was like, you know, I've got to get her on the Life Strong Project because your story to me was exhilarating. It was powerful because you told me some things about. You told me your success, and we'll get into that in a minute, but you told me some things about before you got to your success, some of the hurdles that you took, and you were real transparent about it. And I was like, wow, that's powerful that, you know, people, when people you know, showed their, you know, their travels and their journeys to get there. Everybody wants to see success. You know, everybody wants to show success, but no one wants to show what it took. They don't want to show the battle scars to how it took to get from point A to point B. But you kind of went into onto those. But so tell us a little about your beginnings. How, you know, granted, of course, they can tell by the name you're a writer. All right, let's get that out right now. Let's get that out right now. She's a writer, y'all. If y'all didn't know, she's a writer. But tell us a little bit about your beginnings. When did you realize that this is what I want to do, write?
I don't remember a time that I didn't know I wanted to be a writer. But I didn't know how to become a writer. And I used to always write when I was a little girl. Most kids played, you know, tag and it and all that. And I did some of that stuff sometimes. But my favorite game to play was news. It was just a game that I made up myself, and I would write the news that I wanted to share, and I would play news with all of my Barbie dolls and stuffed animals. And then I wrote a lot of poetry. I had notebooks and notebooks full of poetry. I wrote letters to myself, to my future self. I wrote letters to my little girl self. But a funny thing is, I was writing poetry, but by the time I got to high school, I hated writing. Well, that's what I say. That's the story I tell. I say that I hated writing because, you know, when you're a writer, we write.
Right.
So doing things like podcasts and, you know, being on TV, that's not our thing because we write.
Okay.
So when you have to talk about yourself and then other people start talking about you, you kind of want to take the shine off of yourself. And like all of my teachers, they would talk about me as a writer. They would say she writes really well. And so to avoid all of that attention, I started saying, well, I hate writing. I don't want to be a writer.
Wow.
And so, but going back, I was about maybe 11 years old. And the first time I guess you would call me being published, my mom and I used to teach aerobics at a church. And a little girl who used to come with her mom all the time, she was killed in a car accident. And she was maybe like 9-10 years old. And it really touched me because I'd never really known anybody to just really die. So I wrote a poem about her, and they published it in her obituary. But at the time, there was a little magazine, literary magazine called Seedlings. And I can't remember who did it, maybe one of my teachers or maybe her mom or somebody. But somebody submitted it to that magazine, and that was the first time I was published when I was 11 years old.
Wow.
In the Seedlings magazine.
Wow. And so from that point, so talk about how, because, okay, 11 years old, I'm assuming you weren't in high school at 11. I mean, you might have been a prodigy.
No.
I don't know.
No.
You might have been a prodigy. I ain't, you know.
No, I was not.
But, okay, so there you are. You write this poem, and it's published. And you're 11 years old, and it's something's got to say, wow, I'm pretty good at this. Like I'm good at this. It's one thing because a lot of young people will say, you know, I like doing this, or I like doing these types of things. But to actually come to the realization that, man, I'm good. I'm really good.
I don't know if I came to that realization.
Wow, really?
Because I don't even know. I don't know. As a writer, you or any artist, I don't think you ever get there because I've been writing more than 30 years now, and I still don't really know that I'm a good writer. You know what I mean? So at 11, it wasn't that I finally knew I was a good writer. That it was what I was supposed to do because it was who I was. And I mean, I guess I probably thought everybody wrote because I wrote, when I tell you that I wrote my feelings on a daily basis, it didn't matter if it was raining outside, I was going to write about it. I have stories, I have poems, I have just all kind of stuff that I've written.
Wow.
Even that young. And so it was not that it wasn't a discovery for me. It was natural, like breathing to me to write.
Wow. Now
I didn't know I wasn't supposed to.
Wow. That's wow. So it was, wow. Well, you were supposed to, apparently.
Right.
You were supposed to. All right. So there you are at 11 years old. Then you know, between 11 and, you know, I guess 14 when you started high school, 13, 14, 15, whatever. You started high school. You got to high school and you said, "Ah, I hate writing."
Hate it.
What transpired during that time frame that said, "You know what? I'm finished. Dimitri is, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not doing this anymore."
Well, one thing was, by the time I got to high school, I was a professional ballet dancer. So
what?
I didn't. Yeah. I was a professional ballet dancer. So I wasn't, well, modern dancer too. So I wasn't really into my writing. I didn't think of my writing as a career. I thought of myself as a dancer.
Okay.
Because that's all I focused on from the time I started dancing when I was 9.
Oh, wow.
And so by the time I got to high school, one of the reasons why I rejected writing so much is because my teacher, my journalism teacher, and she was also my English teacher, she talked about my writing every single day, it seems like. She was always talking about how well I wrote, and she would always pick on me to point out, well, this is how grammar is supposed to be. This is how the story is supposed to go. This is beginning, middle, and end. And again, as a writer, it was embarrassing for me because just let me write. Don't bring the attention to me. Just talk about my writing.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available, because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
And I didn't like it. And so my focus was just on me being a dancer. And I was also the lead singer in a band at that time. So I focused on everything but writing.
Good Lord. A singer, writer, or dancer, and good grief. You stay busy. You did more in your life before the age of 12.
Right.
Good grief. All right, so there you were, and it's amazing to hear that, you know, it was a teacher that kind of took that passion, that joy from you.
I think I don't think that was her intention,
right?
Because a funny thing about that teacher, she's white, and of course I'm black,
right?
But in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You didn't get the accolades from a white teacher.
No.
That I got.
No. No.
You didn't get it. And I'll never forget Ms. Gannon for that, because I knew what she was doing. And on one hand, I loved it because somebody acknowledged me as a writer.
Okay.
But at the same time, again, I guess you can call it being shy. I was really, really shy. So, and that's a funny word, because I was shy, but I knew everybody and everybody knew me.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her to just bring the attention to me, that's what the issue was for me. And she even wrote in my yearbook when I graduated that it's a shame that such a wonderful, good writer rejects writing so much. And I was like, okay.
Wow. So in her mind, she was,
it was a talent wasted.
Wow. I'm wow.
Yeah, that's... was emotional about it all the time. And she felt like, I mean, this woman, and I get how she, as a teacher now, I understand how she feels, because if you see something in a student or even one of your children and you want that for them so bad and they reject it and they don't want it and they do every single thing they can to not do that thing, it's disappointing, it's hurtful, it's just, you know, you start to wonder, why am I doing what I'm doing if I can't, you know, usher this child or this teenager into the next phase. But like I said, at that time I was focused on dancing, so I didn't really I didn't think about writing too much. But I never stopped writing. I was always writing during that time. But one thing that didn't connect with me though is that writing could be a career. For some reason, you know, you see billboards, you right. see advertisements, right. you read books, you see magazines, you see newspapers, you see all of that. But I grew up in the South, not on the East Coast, not on the West Coast,
okay.
where the whole idea of you can be an artist professionally was even a thing. So it never occurred to me that writing could have been a career.
Wow.
I mean, for that much, for, you know, I didn't even think dancing could have been a career for me because I was a black girl from the South. So I didn't see black ballet dancers.
Wow. Now, I remember when we first talked, and you kind of just hinted on it, how you didn't think that writing could be, how in the world could I make a living, you know, writing?
It's, right.
It's, and it's I think it plagues, it's one of those things that plagues our communities. There's a handful of things that we're quote unquote supposed to do.
Right.
And I'm going to go on a limb, and we kind of talked about it, so I'm not really going on a limb, but writing is not one of those things that I ever heard coming up that you should focus on to become right. successful. Writing, that's that you can't make any money putting a pen to paper and jotting down words. Never.
Or as a ballet dancer, or as a singer, or as a musician, you know.
Well, I don't know about singers because it's a
little. Well, I mean, again, you got to think about, okay, I might age myself a little bit, but let me just tell you the careers that were being pushed.
Wow.
When I was growing up. Okay. And then that might give you a better idea
okay.
of why I say that. Teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Nursing.
Yep. Well, yeah. I think that'll all. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Being a secretary.
That was pushed?
Yeah. Being a secretary.
Wow.
Or being a housewife. So I'm aging myself a lot. But those were the things that if you were in high school, when I was in high school,
right.
those were the options if you were a female.
I was about to say, that sounds kind of sexist, too.
Yeah.
Wow. So they,
now, of course, some of us have bigger dreams, you know, because I do right. have classmates who are doctors and classmates who are, you know, professional athletes and all kind of stuff. But the notion was that you become, as a woman, you become one of those things.
Wow. Well, and okay, so there you are getting those. Wow. There you are getting those areas pushed. I don't even want to call. Not saying that being a housewife is not a job.
Oh, it's a full time job.
It's a full time sure. job. But for the fact that was being pushed. Pretty much telling you, you know what? Just stay at home. Just,
right.
you know, get married, have kids, stay at home, and that's what I'm gonna. Wow, that's so there you are getting this stuff, you know, drilled, and mm-hmm. you're fighting your purpose. Okay, is it safe to say, before we go, is it safe to say that writing was your purpose?
I didn't know that though.
But okay, but it was. You didn't know it.
It
but,
was.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think it was, but I didn't know it at the time.
So there you are fighting your purpose at this point. All right. So now I want you to hold on to that. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Demetria Milliner and find out how she navigated back to her purpose in the midst of being told all of these things that she could be and some of the things that she couldn't. We'll be back in a few of them, y'all. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This week, with digital coupons at Safeway and Albertsons, get beef rib roast for $7.97 per pound. Member price with minimum purchase of $50 or more in a single transaction. Exclusions apply. See store for details. And broccoli, cauliflower, or russet potatoes are 97 cents per pound. Member price, limit 6 pounds. Plus, selected sizes and varieties of Lucerne butter, cheese, or Philadelphia cream cheese are $1.97 each. Member price. Visit Safeway or Albertsons.com for more deals and ways to save.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
And we're back at the Life Strong Project. I'm here with my special guest, Demetria Milliner. And when we left, we were talking about, you know, some of the things that she, when she found out that she, you know, well, she, it came to her realize that she didn't want to write anymore. This is a professional writer who didn't want to write anymore. I just lost her passion for writing and wanted to become a professional dancer. But even then, they were telling you what you could not do. Even then, right. People were saying, you can't be a professional dancer. You can't be a professional singer. You definitely can't be a professional writer. And some of those things that a housewife, a nurse, a secretary. Wow. I mean, there you are in high school, and they're telling you that this is the most you're going to get out of your life. We don't see any way you can be anything more than this. So concentrate on this. What is going through a young Demetria's head when she's being told that?
Well, I think it's kind of like all generations. I don't think that I was being ill-informed, but I think when the people around you only know one path, mm-hmm. or they have one, ideology about the way to go in life, then that's what they tell younger people.
Wow. Okay.
You know, so for those of us who had different ideas about who and what we wanted to be, I think they were looked at more as dreams than what could be reality. Because I mean, the whole reason why I started Teen Writers Project is because I just don't think people back then knew how.
Right.
And especially, again, you have to remember, I was born and raised in the South, Louisiana bred, Texas fed. So mm-hmm. in the South, there was no New York, there's no California. So we didn't talk about the arts in that sense. So anybody who wanted to pursue those things, we saw it on TV, we heard it on the radio. Wow. And if we did it, we made a big jump and we just left home right after graduation.
Wow. Now, you mentioned something. You said that people only share what they know.
Right.
You know, hey, my life experiences, I'm going to share what I know. And
right.
Talk a little bit, because I remember we talking about this. Talk a little bit about what family, parents said when Demetria said, you know what? I think I want to write. How was that received from your family?
Oh, it wasn't received.
It wasn't received.
No. Well, here's a funny thing. My parents did everything they could to support every single thing that I did.
Okay.
Which is why I did go so far to become a professional ballet dancer, because my mom and my dad and then my real dad, my real dad is a musician. So maybe that's where those ideas came from.
Okay.
But whenever I would mention that to my mom, she would always say, that I should put that pipe dream down and think about what I want to do for a real job.
Oh.
And again, that's why I say, you know, during my generation and where I'm from, my geography and my generation, we weren't artists professionally.
Right.
And so my mom, she's in education. And so that's what she thought I should be in.
Mm.
Generational stuff, you know? And so I don't even think I mentioned to my mom that I wanted to be a writer, but I think she probably knew that I wanted to be a dancer, but I don't think she knew how serious I was about it until I went to college. And when I went to college and I tried to major in dance, she was like, well, no, we're not doing that. So I majored in special education just because I graduated from high school not knowing what career path to take, because I knew that my options were, and these are air quotes on this podcast, unrealistic.
Okay. All right. All right.
It was unrealistic. So, you know, so my mom, every time I mentioned, you know, trying to write, she would be like, well, yeah, that's a good dream. But like, wow, what do you really want to do?
Wow. And that's not to say that she wasn't Team Demetria. She was very, very much, you know, in your corner, and she supported
yes.
you. She just didn't see how writing
could be a career. She didn't know how.
Wow.
Yeah, she didn't know what to do. And I think if my mom knew, she probably would have done that.
Right.
But, you know, I think if my mom knew how to help me become a writer, she would have done everything that, you know, in her power to help me become that. But she didn't know.
Wow.
Because, I mean, wow. You know, like I said, if you look at my career as a dancer, my mom, I danced at the conservatory, San Francisco Conservatory Ballet, Dallas Black Dance Theater, Inner City Road Modern Dance Company, Carol England. I've danced with the best dance companies because she saw how good I was, and you know, whatever was next, she supported that. But beyond that, locally, regionally, state, you know, beyond that, what was she supposed to do if she didn't know?
If she didn't know. Wow.
Right.
Wow. So there you, wow. I'm really curious to know, there you are, high school. I mean, the high school, that's the, I mean, those formative years, those 4 years it was four for me. I know it's three now for some schools.
Right.
They go from 10 to 12. It was 9 through 12 for me. So, you know,
me too.
But though, okay. All right. See, so I think we're about the same. Anyway, so there we are, 9 through 12. I mean, those formative years where, you know, you're still, quote unquote, a child, but you're growing into young adulthood. And there you are coming to this thought that writing is not what I want to do. What broke you out of that? Were you still in high school? Was it your adulthood? Because I'm trying to figure out, you have everybody pretty much against you writing. It sounded like just about everybody. You had a teacher that pretty much, you know, it didn't sound like she was doing it purposely, but kind of took the joy from it. And what was it that sparked it in your life that made you want to say, I want to get back into this? And when was
it? Well, I've been working on a book, a novel. Mm-hmm. I've been working on this novel probably since college. And when I moved to Texas, at the time there was this big, maybe it wasn't an influx, it was to me, because I never heard of writers groups, but there were writers groups, and I wanted to join one because I just wanted to write a book.
Uh-huh.
I didn't join it with the notion of being a professional writer, because again, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what that meant. I just wanted to write a book. And so I joined all of these writers groups, but I was always the wrong shade of brown when I joined these groups. And so,
wait a minute,
my dialogue.
The wrong shade of brown?
They were white. The members were white.
I'm about to say, you could have just said wrong shade. You say wrong shade of brown, I'm like, what, you wasn't black enough? I'm like, what?
Yeah, pretty much. So I joined these writers groups, and as they're going over my manuscript, and at the time it was a fiction story, but they're going over my manuscript, and I had this one character who, it was a guy, but he mm-hmm. was kind of like hood. He was a little thug.
Right. Right.
And they changed, you know, again, I keep saying I'm from Louisiana, so right. we say things right. a bit different. And he would say, I'm about to go to the stove. Just
right.
like that.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And I wrote it that way.
Okay.
They would, you know, during our critique sessions, they would cross it out and they would say, I am going to the store.
Hmm.
That's how they would rewrite it. And I kept thinking, and I don't think their intentions were bad, but I was like, this is not for me. And so I started my own writer's group. I started my own writer's group so that not with any hopes of, you know, people looking like me would join, but just so that I could probably find the resources that I needed to help myself. Well, it turns out there were a lot of people like me. And so my first go round, I had about 15 members right out of the gate. And so I was writing. Everybody was writing. There were a lot of poets, a lot of creative people who joined my group.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This week, with digital coupons at Safeway and Albertsons, get beef rib roast for $7.97 per pound. Member price with minimum purchase of $50 or more in a single transaction. Exclusions apply. See store for details. And broccoli, cauliflower, or russet potatoes are 97 cents per pound. Member price, limit 6 pounds. Plus, selected sizes and varieties of Lucerne butter, cheese, or Philadelphia cream cheese are $1.97 each. Member price. Visit Safeway or Albertsons.com for more deals and ways to save.
And then one day we had a visitor, and this visitor was an editor from a local newspaper, and she was looking for writers, and she was offering paid freelance writing opportunities, and no one in my writers group volunteered to do it. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, we had talked it up, and I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure they would love to do that, you know, and I invited her to come, and no one wanted to do it, so I volunteered to do it. Well, it wasn't volunteer because I got paid for it, but I started out writing, doing book reviews and play reviews.
Okay.
And when I tell you that, that changed everything. It changed everything. Because one, I realized that I didn't want to write fiction. I wanted to write real stories. And two, because I didn't have a clue about writing professionally, I didn't really know that there were other genres. That word didn't even exist to me. All I knew was writing fiction novels because that's all I had read.
Right, okay.
And so I started writing for the newspaper, and from that newspaper, I started writing for ABC News, and I was also writing for DART, which is Dallas Area Rapid Transit. That was also a new area for me. It was copywriting. Had no idea about copywriting, and that's how it all started.
Wow.
And you couldn't stop me then. That's all I wanted to do.
Wow. Wow. So you took an opportunity that nobody else, and these are other self-proclaimed writers, right? These are other self-proclaimed writers that didn't want to take an opportunity. You took it. And y'all, as they say, the rest is history.
Right.
And she couldn't be stopped. Wow, and it's amazing to hear some of the organizations that you wrote for. I didn't know. Well, I knew, but you rarely hear about writers. Because like you said, you know, when you say ABC News, I look at ABC News and I see the news, you know, people on there, the anchor and the co-anchor, and they're running their mouth. We don't think about what goes on behind the scene.
Right.
Of course they're writers, but we don't think about it.
You don't know that.
So of course, like you said, you know, from the South, and you know, people aren't telling you this kind of stuff. And of course, when you're growing up, you know, you have this passion burning in, but you don't know what you can do with it. Pretty much, you said, fiction. Fiction. That's all you knew, and you didn't know where your passion was going to take you in the long run. So there you are. You're writing for ABC News. You're writing for all these organizations.
Time Magazine.
Who's that?
I wrote for ABC, Time, People.
Oh, Time. Okay. And you were just doing articles in Time and People then, right? You were just...
Yeah, these were articles I wrote for Rolling Out, Steve Harvey had a camp for, I think, boys at the time in Little Elm, Texas.
Okay.
And so every summer I would go there and just hang out and just listen to everybody, interview people. And I was writing stories for Rolling Out during that time.
Wow.
And Black Enterprise magazine. So I've written for a lot of publications.
Wow.
And then on the flip side of that, when I started copywriting and copy editing, some of the companies that I've written for include Texas Instruments, CompUSA,
wow,
Eli Lilly, Procter & Gamble, BlackBerry, Coca-Cola.
Jeez.
There's a lot. The list is long.
Wow. Look. So when you say copyright, you know, forgive my ignorance because I'm learning. When you, I know what copywriting, I know what it means, but I didn't know you have had to have a writer for that. So you actually wrote what the
content. Well, I was also a technical writer too. So, for example, for BlackBerry and Linux, this old software program, I wrote.
Hey, Linux isn't old. You're talking to an IT. It's not old.
Okay. Well, it was a long time ago, so I didn't know they were still around. But I wrote the instructions for how to use. I can't even remember what I was writing instructions for, but I wrote the instructions for that. And then for Procter & Gamble, I think it was when Crest White Strips came out.
Right.
I did the packaging on that. I did some packaging for the S.C. Johnson Wax Company and Raid. There was this, they were trying to transform birth control. And so, and this, I have to share this story because it's a funny story, but this just goes to show how writers get ideas.
Okay.
But I was having a really, really hard time for this, this birth control pill called Seasonal.
Okay.
And the gist of it was the same, but different. And between me and the designer, we couldn't figure out what, I mean, that was all I had, the same, but different.
Mm-hmm.
And my children, one night, I was trying to focus, I was trying to concentrate, and you know, they were little and they were arguing, and one wanted orange juice, and one wanted fruit. I know it was apple juice, I think apple juice and apple, mm-hmm. And we didn't have enough for everybody to have everything, so I was like, "What are y'all talking about? An apple to apple juice? It's the same thing. Just pick one." And then as soon as I said that, the idea for that ad campaign just popped in my head. So I called the designer and I was like, let's go with the same but different, and we'll have an apple and then apple juice. And that's how that idea came up, and that's what they used. That's what they went with. Well, they used a grapefruit instead of an apple because they felt like, even back then in the 90s, that an apple was too much, saying too much about periods or whatever. So they went with a grapefruit and grapefruit juice. But that's how that idea came about.
Oh, wow.
And that's what made me love my job. Those are the kind of experiences that made, and you know, it just made me love the collaborations and the experiences that you use everything in your life to come up with these ideas.
Did your kids get a cut of that money? Because it was them.
My kids getting... probably still getting a cut from that money. Because
they,
if you have kids, you know they never.
You ever say they get more than a cut? They get more than a fair share.
Right.
So, all right. So we're gonna take another break, and when we come back, I want to talk about this organization that you started, Teen Writers Project, and man, this international organization. Let me just stress that, international. This isn't local. This is international, and some of the things that she's doing and she has on docket to do. We'll talk about that when we come back in a couple of minutes, y'all. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Vrbo's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape with friends, a family week at the beach, or sightseeing in a new city, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
We're back on the Life Strong Project. I'm here with my special guest, Demetria Milliner. Question. You ready? Question.
I'm ready.
Most writers, I think, would say that they are introverted. They need mm-hmm. their time away. But you were a dancer.
Right.
In front, dancing in front of people, in front of crowds.
Lots of people.
So how in the world, I mean, as extrovert or introvert? Which one?
Extreme introvert.
Wow.
And really, I think, well, here's the thing. When I used to dance in front of all those hundreds of people, I would never get nervous until I got off the stage. And I think that was because it was dark and I really couldn't see the people. Mm. But when I would hear the applause, I would always wonder, is it for me? Is it for my co-dancers? Did I do good? Did I mess up? Did I get the steps right? The whole thing. And it was driving me crazy.
Wow.
But at the time, I had an agent or a potential agent. And she wanted to meet one day. And she was like, it's really important. We need to meet right now. And I'm excited because I'm thinking I have a contract. Mm-hmm. And when we met, she was actually terminating her services with me because she said, I don't know how to market you. You're a singer, you're a dancer, and you're a writer. Pick one. Because, I mean, like now, people do a lot. You know, they're multi-potentialites. But back then, right. She was like, I just don't know how to market you. And so you need to pick one. And I think that's when I chose writing. Well, writing chose me. Because it was the job that I could do where I wouldn't really have to deal with people other than interviews, and I could interview people on the phone because, you know, I'm not starstruck, so I'll call a celebrity in a minute and say, you know, can we talk on the phone? And it was the one career that I didn't have to be in front of people.
Wow. Wow. Now, that's crazy. That's wow. Because I'm like, wait a minute. She's on both sides of the spectrum. And I know there's you know, areas where you could be both introvert, but those are extreme. I mean, because one, you're right. Performing in front of people, and the other, you're left, you know, to your own, you know, leave me alone. I'm trying to write.
Right.
I need silence.
Well, I think for me, they were kind of the same because when I was dancing, it was just me, the music, and the stage. And I choreographed, or I helped choreograph most of the dances that I performed.
Okay.
And then, like I said, when I was on stage, the audience was pitch black.
So you couldn't.
You couldn't see a single person. They weren't there. So all I had was myself and the music and the stage.
Wow.
That's all I had. And so I think that's why I did get nervous after the fact, because now when everybody is applauding, you hear them. And I'm like, well, thank goodness I don't have to go back out there because wow. I'll be nervous. Yeah, so I think they kind of worked in tandem together. But again, sometimes the lights weren't off. And I had that in the back of my mind. Like, sometimes I did have to perform in places where there were bright lights and I could see my audience, or I was right in front of them. And, you know, I just didn't feel like being bothered with that anxious energy.
Mm. Wow, that's wow. So let's talk about this organization, Tane Writers Project. That's how we actually got to talk the first time, and you told me about the Tane Writers Project. Now, this is a nonprofit.
It is.
And the thing about this that struck me is, you know, a lot of nonprofits, you know, they operate in a certain geographical area, and you said the word international, and I was like, wait a minute. Okay, this is a writing organization for teens that has gone international. Tell us about the Teen Writers Project.
Teen Writers Project is a nonprofit organization that provides a collaborative and engaging space for teenagers to write and be published. And that sums it up in a nutshell. And what we did, you know, COVID did a lot of things for the world and for people. It changed a lot of things. It enhanced a lot of things. It improved a lot of things. But there were, you know, of course, really some really bad things. But one good thing is that everybody was virtual. Mm-hmm. And so that gave me the access. That gave me the opportunity to be global. And so when we started, you know, we had a lot of programs to start with. But the one thing that stood out was our e-zine. Now, with our e-zine, I thought that would be like a 1 or 2 page, almost like a newsletter where mm-hmm. we might feature a kid or two, or I don't want to say kid, a teenager or two from Dallas. But our very first publication, we had 21 submissions. Wow. And those 21 submissions came from all around the world.
Wow.
We had teenagers from the UK. We had new teenagers from Nigeria. We also had teenagers from Idaho, from Utah, from Texas, from New York. And it just, it kept getting bigger and it kept getting bigger and it's still growing.
Wow.
And then I decided, you know what? I want a teen board because I am of a certain age. Uh-huh. And I don't always know what teenagers are interested in, what they like.
Right.
So I established a teen board. And even then, I thought my board would only be teenagers in the United States and specifically in Dallas because we're Dallas based. But we only have two of our team. We have, I think, 17 board members mm-hmm. and only two of them are from Texas. One is from New York. Two are from Nigeria, but one lives in Turkey. We wow. have one in the UK. We have one in Utah. So we have seven, and they're from all over the world.
Wow. So when did you come to the realization that, and I'm sure it had something to do with, you know, you being a young person who was interested in writing and not getting the push, so to speak, to pursue it. So what else sparked you to create such an organization?
Well, I became a teacher, I think in 2012. My daughter got pregnant, mm-hmm. and my son's already had kids. But, you know, when your boys have kids, you know, it's the girl's mom that does all the leg work.
Right.
But when my daughter got pregnant, I was like, okay, well, I want to be the sit-at-home and the rocking chair granny, and I want to rock my grandchildren. And, I'm not that kind of granny, and they are not those kind of grandchildren. But I thought teaching would be the career that would allow me to kind of still write, you know, be in that space, but, mm-hmm. you know, kind of be a granny too. But teaching is a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. And I think beyond, above writing, dancing, anything, it is the hard, even childbirth, it is the most difficult thing that I had to do in my life.
Mm.
And I think when you are a dedicated teacher, it becomes that. And so, while I was teaching, I noticed that there are sports events or, you know, sports clubs. There's fine arts clubs, all of the things, but nothing for writers. You know, there were no after school clubs for writers. There were no organizations for writers, not for teen writers anyway. And I thought, you know, let me try this at my school, at the school where I was working. Let me try to start an after-school writing club. And I called it Writing Wednesdays, and we met on Wednesdays, and it was really good. And I was shocked because I had about 17 or 18 students sign up. And they were poets, they were rappers, they were songwriters, they wanted to write plays. We did Poetry Gumbo. There was another kind of project that I created where we did spoken word. We entered contests. And so I thought, where was this when I was a teenager?
Whoa. Whoa.
And it was that simple. Where was this when I was a teenager? Because I started thinking about it. You know, like all of my friends, they did have chess clubs and football clubs, baseball, basketball, youth sports you know, that you got that covered. Tennis, you think you come up with a sport, there's a club for it.
Yep.
Even some creatives had clubs. There was, you know, band, there was fine arts, there was all, but nothing for writers. And that was mind boggling to me. And I felt like as a literary citizen, I was obligated to do something about it. Even if I didn't want to do it, I felt obligated to do something about that, because I wouldn't want another teenager to have to grow up wanting to write, but not knowing how to navigate even close to that space.
Wow. And that's even...
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available, because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
I'm going to go on a limb and say... It's almost like that today. I don't know if there's a lot of writing groups, there's those air quotes, groups,
right,
in our schools today.
They're not. I can't. I mean, I'm in Asia, and you know, they all have yearbook clubs, and a lot of them have like newspaper from, but that's from a class. That's from a journalism class. But there's really no outlet for teenagers who want to write books, teenagers who want to write poetry, teenagers who want to be graffiti artists, tattoo artists, man. That it doesn't exist.
Wow.
And that's actually what Teen Writers Project started out. It wasn't called Teen Writers Project. There was, we didn't really even have a name for it, but I connected with another teacher, the graphic design teacher at my school. Because working together, we realized that there are a lot of students who wanted to be entrepreneurs, or what we call artpreneurs, even at that time.
Okay.
But they had no clue what to do. So we would actually, after school, every single day, we would consult with these teenagers. And we helped a lot of them start t-shirt businesses, tattoo businesses, their own graphic design businesses, photography businesses, all of the things that schools really don't support when they start talking about careers. You know, a lot of schools feel like they're doing a really good job in that space because they do talk about, you know, the arts. But when they're talking about the arts, they're talking about the ones we just talked about, band, fine arts, you know, painters and things like that. But they're not really talking about the graffiti artists and the tattoo artists and the writers. And so I feel like, you know what, I need to do something about it.
And
so I did.
In a time where they're making... there are colleges that have gaming as a a literal degree program. You would think that writing would have been something in high schools that, you know, in today's time, that at least that they would really be pushing. And it still seems like that's one of those areas where, and maybe it goes back to what you explained when we first started. People just don't know.
So, I think that's what it is. People don't, I don't think they make the connection between how writing fits into that puzzle. You know, like writing is that one puzzle piece that's always missing that you can never find.
And
the reason why
because,
you can't find it
oh,
is because you don't really know that it exists.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's got to be because...
it's under a rug somewhere.
Right, writers,
you know,
are
so
in the background.
You do whatever you have to do, and what a lot of people are doing, they're filling that gap with... a piece of bubble gum, a piece of paper, they'll cut out the shape, whatever. But writing fills that gap because, yeah, gaming is a thing now. But somebody has to write the scripts for those games.
Yes.
You have all kind of games that, you know, pick the life or whatever, where you go through all of these phases where you have to say, well, this girl chose this path or whatever. But somebody has to write those scripts.
Wow.
And I think that's something that a lot of people, engineers, don't realize that. You know, some doctors don't realize that, you know, that wow. all that equipment that you use, there are some instructions that come with that equipment it. That a technical writer has to write.
Look,
I don't think people realize that.
I'm telling on me because, everything comes with directions, instructions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I never.
We don't think about it.
Yeah. You know, somebody actually sat and, deliberated over how this should work and which step is which. And I'm guilty.
That was me. That was me for Season L. That was me for Ray. That was me for Blackberry and Linux and all of those. Yeah, that was me and all the other technical writers in the world.
Wow. And that has been very that's been very fortuitous for you. I mean, that's been you've done well.
Yeah.
You've done well.
Writers can make a lot of money.
So it's not one of these things where, I want to be a writer and it's going to be a labor of love and I know I'm not going to make a lot of money but I'm just going to do it because I love it. No, people listen to what she is saying. You
yeah,
can be a labor of
a
love,
of
but you can get paid.
Right.
You can get paid.
Writers can make anywhere from, and I'll say veteran or seasoned writers, can make anywhere from, I'll say, 90 a year to six figures. I mean, and I was transparent when we talked off audio. I'll tell you now. When I first started writing, I was making $25 an hour. And I thought I was making a lot of money. And then I went to another company. And when they told me that my salary was going to be 70, that's all they said. It was going to be 70. And I was like, okay, that's a good salary. 70,000 a year, that's a good salary. Hmm. Got my first paycheck because I don't ask a lot of questions. What do you want me to write? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I got my first paycheck and I realized, whoa. That was $70 an hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you do the math.
Oh, my God.
$70 an hour, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week,
Ooh.
Sometimes overtime. Writers can make a lot of money. I mean, and even I'm a freelance writer now, so as a freelance writer, I charge $90 an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
So, yeah, writers can make some good money. Freelancers, contract writers, full-time writers, you can make a decent living as a writer.
You said $90 an hour. All I saw were commas and zeros. That's all I saw.
Right?
I saw commas and zeros. My goodness.
My students, when I would share the story with my students, they would say, do you have any questions about what we just talked about? They would always have the same one question. Why are you teaching? And for me, that's that labor of love job that you were talking about.
Okay.
Teaching is that for me because, I mean, at first I was like, I'll never be a teacher in my life ever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became a teacher, I think, you talked about purpose. I think writing is what I'm supposed to do, but I think teaching is what I was born to do.
Ah, that's interesting. So safe to say that passion doesn't have to be singular.
No, not at all.
And I think that's beat into the heads of people. Passion, your passion. You find out your passion, and go for it. That one thing, and it's incredible that you said, hey, that your labor of love is teaching. You were born to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Yet writing is something that you are great at. And it's been very good to you. It's been very good to you. It's been very good to her. Okay.
I want to say something, Anthony, about something that you said before we get too far away from it.
Okay.
And I had to find her name, but I came across this video a very long time ago by a woman named Emily Wapnick. She's a writer as well. Emily Wapnick.
Mm-hmm.
And I started showing it to my students, I think in 2014, and I still show it to every single student I've had since that time. But it's a TED Talk, and she talks about being a multi-potentialite. And I think one of the problems is that when children are little, and I'm sure you experienced it, I experienced it, people always say, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
And so already as a child, they're boxing you in and telling you, you got to pick one thing.
Yeah.
You only have one choice. So what do you want to be when you grow up? And so in 2014, I started asking my students, tell me what five things you think you want to be when you grow up. And it's called multi-potentialite. And she has all of these examples of these extremes that people are doing. Like somebody, I think, is a brain surgeon or something, but he's also a professional surfer or something like that. Because what she's trying to show is that you don't have to be limited to what you do professionally. And somehow you can figure out a way to make them all work.
Wow.
Because something I haven't told you yet is I'm also a tea expert.
Tea, as in, like, drinking tea.
Like iced tea tea.
Okay, wait a minute. What is a tea expert? I indulge in my tea as well, but what's a tea expert?
A tea expert is someone who knows how to blend, how to identify, how to infuse teas and growth.
So do you make your own teas?
I blend my own teas. I haven't started. COVID prevented that.
Okay.
That's another reason I came to Asia, because they have most of the best teas come from Asia. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to learn how to cultivate my own teas. And I couldn't, because I haven't been able to go to the tea farms out here because of COVID. But that's the goal.
You let me know when you start infusing.
Okay.
And you let me know.
Now, I blend. I definitely blend, and I have different, I have some that I call tonics. I blend my teas sometimes with essential oils. I blend teas with other different teas, with herbs and spices and, you know, a lot of different things. So I do a lot of blending. I just don't grow them yet. I don't grow the plant yet.
Wow. That, good grief.
The Back to Teen Writers Project.
Good grief. I'm like, what don't you do? Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're gonna have to, because I love me some tea. My tea is, that's a part of, you know, almost a daily ritual of mine.
I have to send you some that I blend.
Come on now. Don't play. See, I will send you the address when we can tell this interview. So for the teens that are, for the young people that are listening, that writing's been burning in them and they just didn't know what to do until this interview, tell them how they can find you and the other young writers that are a part of the Teen Writers Project. How can they get a hold of you?
It is very simple. They do just that. They go on the internet and they Google Teen Writers Project, and we'll come up. Instagram, Facebook, our website. We have Discord. I really would encourage them to join our Discord channel, because with Discord, on Discord, we do a lot of like pop-up workshops, craft workshops. Craft is now the politically correct term for style, a writer style. So we teach people how to, you know, develop their style. But we have a lot of writing opportunities on our website. We have Writing Wednesday. We have Photo Friday. We have contests. Just all kind of writing opportunities for teenage writers.
Wow. So if you are interested in writing, if you feel this is something that has been burning in you from early on, and you just didn't know where to turn, or, you know, what group, there's no groups in your schools, young ladies and gentlemen, the Teen Writers Project is for you. Demetria, thank you so much for being a part of the Life Strong Project. I hope this is not the last time. Your story is just, it's amazing how you got to where you are, even in the midst of the naysayers, so to speak. Regardless if it was done purposely or not, but
right.
the fact that you got to one of your many purposes, because you did a bunch of stuff. That's one of your many talents. It's amazing to hear. Thank you for being a part of the Lifestrong Project.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, please.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. We're definitely going to have you back on at a later date. And everybody, remember, every life has a purpose, but it's up to you to bring life to your purpose. All right. So I appreciate everybody listening in on this episode. As always, here at the Lifestrong Project, we appreciate you guys for listening in. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Lifestrong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Early birds always rise to the occasion for summer vacation planning, because early gets you closer to the action. So don't be late. Book your next vacation early on Vrbo and save over $120. Rise and shine. Average savings $141. Select homes only.